Today's daf in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Megillah Daf Gimel. We just began the brand new Masechta Megillah yesterday, and we are about six lines down from the top. We had several statements in the name of Rav Yirmiyahu, or alternatively Rav Chiya Bar Abba, and we'll continue with another statement from him. Actually, a couple more. V'yama Rabbi Yirmiyahu v'itema Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. Rav Yirmiyahu said, or alternatively, it was Rav Chiya Bar Abba who said the following: Targum Shel Torah, what we call Targum Unkelis on the Torah. Unkelus Hager Amaro. This was written down and said over by Unkelus Hager. Unkelus was a fantastic personality. He was the nephew of Nero Caesar, and he converted and became a great, great Jew. And he wrote Targum Unkelus, which we'll now understand a little bit more about. How could he write Targum Unkelus if it was actually written down much earlier, as we'll see? In any event, this statement of Yirmiyahu, Rav Chiya Bar Abba, said that Targum Unkelus was written down by Unkelus Hager, and he learned it out, Amaro Mipi Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yeshua. He learned it out from the great Tanoim, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Similarly, the Targum on Nevi'im, Targum Shel Nevi'im, which is written by Yonasan ben Uziel, this is known as the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, Amaro Mipi Chagai Zecharia Malachi. This was said over the name of Chagai Zecharia Malachi. Again, Lav Davka, that he learned it directly from them, but this was the Torah from Chagai Zecharia Malachi that Targum Yonas and Uziel is based upon. And when he wrote this down, the Gemara tells us the world shook. Eretz Yisrael. There was like an earthquake in Eretz Yisrael. There was Arba Meos Parsa. It was a huge earthquake that emanated from Eretz Yisrael that was over an area of 400 Parsa by 400 Parsa, a total of 1,600 square Parsa. Again, a Parsa is the equivalent to 4 mil. A mil is roughly a kilometer. So you're dealing here with a very large earthquake that went over a very large area. And the reason for this was because Yotzeh Basko B'Yomra, Miuzeh Shegilo Sisarai Livnei Adam. Who is the one that revealed all of my secrets? In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Kaviyocho saying, who is the one that revealed Targum Yonas ibn Uziel? This was not supposed to be for public consumption. Who is the one that did this and that, so to say, upset the world, that caused an earthquake to occur in the world? So Yonas ibn Uziel stood up. Amad Yonas ibn Uziel, Araglav, he gets up on his feet, B'yamar, and he said, I'm the one that did it. Anihu Shegilisi Sisarecha Livnei Adam. I was the one that made this now publicly available. I revealed these secrets of yours. But why did I do this? Galui v'yadua lifanecha, shelo l'chvod yosi yisiv, lo l'chvod beis abba. You know for a fact that I didn't do this for personal aggrandizement. I didn't do this, everybody said, wow, look at Yonas ibn Uziel, look at the Targum that he wrote. He was a bestseller on the New York Times bestseller list. Lo l'chvod beis abba, he didn't even do this to honor my family's name. The only reason I did this was to honor you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo l'chvod chosisi. This is purely to honor you and for your kavod HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because right now there are many different machlokas on how to understand pshat in Navi, and I clarify them all. Shelo yabu machlokas be Yisrael. So there shouldn't be a lot of different alternative opinions, as Rashi brings down over here that there were unfortunately machlokas. So he was lefarish mikros hastumim. So he would clarify these hidden ideas so people wouldn't have baseless machlokas as to what the pshat of the psukim are. Furthermore, he then wanted to do the same thing for the Ksuvim. Same reasoning. Vod Bikesh Legalos Targum Shel Ksuvim. He wanted to write the Targum Yonas ibn Uziel on Ksuvim as well. But here, Yosef Basko, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the Basko, Yomelo, and told Yonas ibn Uziel, don't write your Targum Yonas ibn Uziel on Ksuvim. It's bad enough that you did it, quote, on Navi. Now, it's not meant as a kidrug against him. He was obviously supposed to do this. But Dayecha, enough that you did what you did in terms of Navi, don't do this with Ksuvim. Now, why not? If after all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu let him write this down, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want this to be disseminated, it would not have been disseminated. So what was the purpose of disseminating this information? So it was to clarify the machlokas. So why not do the same thing for Ksuvim? My timer, no. So Gemara says, because Ksuvim has an Daniel that talks about Ketz HaYomim, talks about the end of days. Mishum Deizbe Ketz Moshiach, and we didn't want that to become known as to when Moshiach was coming. That would not be good for Klai Yisrael to know that Mashiach is coming. And when Mashiach is coming, we're supposed to every day hope that he comes. We know he's coming, 2 years from now, 12 years from now, 2 years, 100 years from now. So then we're going to act in an inappropriate fashion. Say, I got plenty of time to do tshuva. That's why a person is always supposed to do tshuva the day before he dies. And the Gemara says, well, you don't know when you're going to die. So therefore it says, do tshuva every day. Don't take any chances. Rahmanul Islam, that tomorrow could be the day that you, Rahmanul Islam may not be here. So do tshuva today. So the same idea. If you think Mashiach's not coming tomorrow, so then you're going to act differently. If you think he may come tomorrow, you're going to act in a different way. And therefore, because of this concern that we would know when Moshiach is coming and will act in an inappropriate fashion if we know that information. So therefore, he wasn't allowed to write down the Targum Yonasim Nazil on Ksuvim. Now, more questions. The first statement that either Rav Yirmiyahu or Rav Chiya Bar Abba made, really, Targum Unkelus was written by Unkelus? The Targum Shel Torah, Unkelus Hager Amoro? This Targum that we have known as Targum Unkelus, was Unkelus really the author of that? We find much earlier references to Targum Unkelus before Unkelus was around. For Amar Rav Iko Bar Ovin, Rav Iko Bar Ovin said, Amar Rav Hananel, said the name of Rav Hananel, Amar Rav, said the name of Rav. My dear, what does the pasuk mean when it tells us, Vayikru Basefer B'Torah Su'alukim Miforosh, V'som Sechel, Vayavinu Bamikwa. Now this is a pasuk, Rashi calls this pasuk from Ezra, but we know it's really from Nehemiah. That's because there is no book of Tanakh known as Sefer Nehemiah. We break it up, in the publishers, they broke it up into Ezra and Nehemiah, but it's really one book called Ezra. And that's how it's referred to, even though the pasuk, quote, comes from Nehemiah. In any event, the statement in this pasuk will now be darshan. So it says, what do these words mean? Vayikru b'sefer b'toras alokim. What is that a reference to? That's a reference to Zemikra. This is the Chumash. And then it says, miforosh. It is explained, that's a reference to Targum, the Targum that we call Targum Unkelus. But this is well before Unkelus lived. Unkelus lived towards the end of the second Beis Hamikdash. And this pasuk from Ezra Nehemiah is written by the start of the second Beis Hamikdash, towards the end of the Golos period of time and the start of the second Beis Hamikdash. So there's a 400-year or so difference between when Unkelus lived and when this pasuk was written. So how could Unkelus have been the author of it? Because it says before Rush, that's with reference to Targum Unkelus. But it couldn't be Unkelus written. We call it Targum Unkelus, but that Targum was extant well before Unkelus lived. And we dash in the rest of the pasuk. It says, B'som Secha, what does that mean? Ela P'sukim. That tells us where you stop in the P'sukim. As Rashi says, Hech Nifsokin. Where do you make the breaks in the P'sukim? The Torah, if you look at the Torah, it doesn't have breaks or pauses or punctuation. So this was given to us where the psukin are, where the stops are. And finally, the last part of it, Vayavinu Bamikra, what does that mean? They would understand this. Elu Pisketamen, this is the trop. Or others say, Amilo, Elu HaMasores, this is referring to the Masores of all the Ksivu Kri and the Mole or not Mole words, all of the way that we properly pronounce and spell each word. So this was well written, the Meforish, the Targum we refer to as Targum Unkelus, was written hundreds of years, if not more, before Unkelus lived. So how can you tell me that this was written by Unkelus? So Gemara says, no, Shechachem, this Targum was around. However, it was lost. And Unkelus, through the words of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua, was able to restore it and bring it back to prominence, and that's why it's referred to as Targum Unkelus, even though he didn't write it as an author, but he re-edited it, he redacted it, he put it back together. Now, Maishno d'oraiso d'lo izdazor, v'adinavi izdazor. Now let's go back and discuss. We said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had no problems with Targum Unkelus being written down, but he had a big problem with Targum Yonasim ben Uzziel, a Navi, being written down. Why? Why should HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyocho be allowing us to have a Targum on Chumash, but not allow us to have a Targum on the Nevi'im? Seems to be strange. So Gemara says, no, it's not strange at all. Daraisa Mifrisha Milsa. In regards to the Chumash, everything is crystal clear. You're not going to have machlokis in the understanding of it. So therefore, there's no problem in having a Targum around that can clarify or explain things. It's all Mifrisha Milsa. It's already explained. So therefore, the Targum Unkelus just clarified things but didn't explain things anew. On the other hand, the Navi, Ikamili the Mefarshan, Vikamili the Mestaman. In the Navi, there were some things that were clear, and the Targum Yonasim Nazil would not have made a major impact. However, there were other things that were stumman, they were hidden, they were closed, and now Targum Yonasim Nazil is revealing it, and that's why the earthquake occurred, so to say. That's why the world shook. Now, we have examples of where in the Navi there were things that were not well understood, and along comes Targum Yonasim Nazil and explains it. So for one example, Dixib, Bayomahu, this is a pasuk over here in Zechariah, which was not well understood. And the pasuk says, Bayomahu Yigdal HaMispeit, on that day there would be a great Mispeit in Yerushalayim, and that Mispeit in Yerushalayim, it's referring there, the Mefarshim explain, either to the death of the Yetzirah or to the death of Mashiach ben Yosef. So this great Mispeit in Yerushalayim would be just as great as Kemispeit, like the eulogy that occurred for Hadadrimon Bebikas Megiddon. That would be like the eulogy that occurred for Hadadrimo in Bikas in the valley of Megiddo. Now, we have no idea what that's referring to because we don't find anywhere in Nach a hesped for Hadadrimo. So what is this referring to? So along comes the Targum Yonasim Nazil, from Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef explains it. Rav Yosef was blind and he didn't learn Torah Shebichsav as much. He learned everything that was the Torah Shebaal Peh, including the Targum. So therefore, he was an expert. In a number of places, we find Rav Yosef is considered an expert on Targum. So that's why we often find statements about Targum from Rav Yosef, as we do over here. Amar Rav Yosef, Ilmole Targuma, if it wasn't for the Targum Yonis Ben Aziel, on this pasuk, the Haikra, Lo Yadana Maikoma, we have no clue what this pasuk means because we don't have a reference to a hesped for Hadadrimon, Nibikas Megidon. So what is this Targum Yonis Ben Aziel telling us? Bayomahu, on that very day, where there was this great hesped in Yerushalayim, Yiske Misbud of Yerushalayim, there was this great hesped in Yerushalayim, which was as great as two other hesped, which we do know about. Number one, Kemisbudo, the Achav Bar Omri, that was the killing of Achav ben Omri was done by Hadadrimon ben Tavrimon in this place known as Ramos Gilad. And then there was another Hesped, Ukimispada, the Yoshiyahu bar Amon, the great Melech Yoshiyahu, who was a fantastically great king. We spoke about him recently in the Daf Yomi. He was the son of Amon. So Yoshiyahu bar Amon, the Kotel Yosef Paro Chagira, who was killed by Paro Nicho. Paro Chagira is the lame Paro, Paro Nicho, and that occurred in Bikas Megiddo. That's what the pasuk refers to in Bikas Megiddon. So that's Bikas Megiddo. And therefore, this great Hesped that is referred to in the Navi in Zechariah is talking actually about these two separate events, the Hesped for Achav ben Omri and the Hesped for Yoshiyahu bar Amon. Another statement that we have from either Rabbi Yirmiyah or Rabbi Bar Abba will be the following. We dash in the following pasuk in Daniel. It says there, Vareisi ani Daniel Levati. Daniel says, I myself, I was with Haggai, Mishael, and Azariah, and they didn't see what I saw. I only saw this nevuah. I, Levadi, saw es hanare, this vision. Va'anashim asher yomi, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, they didn't see it. Lo ro, es hamare. They didn't see this mare. However, Avo Charod the Gedol in Ofalem, they did feel some sort of a panic, even though they didn't see this Mare, and they ran away and they hid. Now, who are these people? So I already said, I'm Rabbi Yirmiyah, Vitam Rabbi Chiya Barabba. Here's where Rabbi Yirmiyah or Rabbi Chiya Barabba said that these people that were with him that didn't see the Mare, Zechagai Zechariah Malachi, they were great Nevi'im, the last Nevi'im, Chagai Zechariah Malachi, and Inu Adife Minei, in some ways, these three were greater than the Navi Daniel. He was a Navi also. V'yu Adif Minayim, but in some ways he was greater than them. How was that? Inu Adif Minayim, they were greater than him because the Inu Nevi'im, V'yu Lo Navi, that they were Nevi'im and he was not a Navi. Now, everybody says that Daniel was a Navi. It's just that he didn't have a Nevua Ladoros, and that's why he's not referred to as a Navi over here. But they had a Nevua Ladoros. Each of them has a Sefer in Tanakh, a Navi. And Daniel didn't have a message for all future generations, so therefore his message is not the same Nevuah, it was Ksuvim, and therefore he's called over here as Ihulo Novi, and Chagai Zechariah Malachi were. However, Ihu Adif Minayah, but he was greater than them in the aspect, the Ihu Chazah, he saw this vision, Vinu Lo Chazah, but they didn't see this vision. Now, since they didn't see this vision, my time Ibisu, why were they so nervous? It's Harod Gedol in Ofalem, Pahivichu Bechabe. If they didn't see anything, why were they so nervous? My time, why were they nervous? So af al gav de inu lo chazu mazlayu chazu. Even though they personally didn't see the vision themselves, their mazel, Rashi explains, their mazel is sar shel kol adam malach, the malach, so to say, over them. The person always has two malachim that are following him around. So mustama, it's one of these malachim. Their mazel saw this, and their mazel shook. And Omar Ravina says about this, Shema Minah, you see from here, Haiman de mi voice. If somebody is frightened and he doesn't see a reason why, he has an anxiety, he has a pachat, he doesn't know why. So Avogadiyu lo chazi, even though he didn't see something that should make him so nervous, Mazlai, his malach that's in charge of him, so to say, chazi, and the malach understands that something is going on. Maitekante, so what should you do in this situation? You don't see anything, but you're very nervous, it gives you an anxiety. So the answer is Likrei Kriyat Shema. Where it says, go read Kriyat Shema, that will calm you down. Person reading Kriyat Shema accepts Ol Malchus Shemayim on himself, and basically he's saying, nothing can harm me, it's all up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that will be, hopefully, a cure for his anxiety, his panic. V'koyim b'mokum atinof, if you're in a place that's a dirty place, an ashba, a bathroom, but you're not allowed to say Kriyat Shema, so what should you do? So linshof, jump, right? Rashi says, yidaleg, go and move, miduchse from that place, arba gamidi, four amos, and in this situation, you're allowed to then say Kriyat Shema. Go to a place where you can't say Kriyat Shema. V'lo if you're unable to do so for whatever the reason, or let's say even if you go for Amos, you're still in a garbage dump, you're still in a place that's dirty. So lay mahachit and say the following, so to say, loshon. Izo de beitabche, the goats that are in the butcher shop, shemeinu minoy, they're much better than me, they're fatter than me. In other words, go attack them and leave me alone. You're saying, leave me alone, don't bother me, I'm not going to be disturbed by you, and that will hopefully resolve this problem that your malach has seen something that has shaken up the malach, and you feel the impact of that as well, but you don't know why. Gemara goes by to in yesterday's year, we explained the purpose of the words in the Megillah, Medina, Medina, Veir, Veir. So, Bahashta, the Gemara says, the Armas, Medina, Medina, Veir, Veir, we explained those, the drasha that we use for that. So what about, it also says, Mishpacha, Umishpacha. It uses that terminology, Lamai also. What was the drasha for using Mishpacha, Umishpacha? Some Rav Yossi, Bar Chanina, Yosef Achanina tells us, Mishpachos Kehuna Olevia Shemavatlan Avodasan. It refers to the Mishpachos of the Kohanim and the Leviim, that they would go and be Mavato, the Avoda that they would be doing in the Beis HaMikdash, Uboin Lishmo Mikra Megillah. And they would go and listen to the Megillah and give up doing that Avoda at that point in time because of Berovam Hadras Melech. Tosa says, what do you mean they're Mavato the Avoda? Fellow Achakriya Yeshabish Osli Avoda. Says they'll go to listen to Megillah and then they'll do the Avodah after that. What do you mean you're Mavatul the Avodah? So Tosus says, Tap Tosus, the Yeshlomer, the Kivan, the Meshehayir Hayom, have his man Avodah, since at the start of the day, that's the ideal time to do the Avodah. And therefore, they don't do it then, but they go listen to the Mikra Megillah, Mishum Hachi Korile Bitul. It's not that they're totally Mavatul, it's the Mavatul, the optimal time to do it. I, Tosus says, Vim Tomar, why don't they viyasu avodoson miyad, do the avoda immediately, viyachakach yukru megillah avadim, and then read the Megillah by themselves? You can be out here reading the Megillah by yourself, so why not do it that way? You have the best of both worlds. You do the avoda in the atmul time, and you do the Megillah also. You do it by yourself. You won't do it with a minion. So Tosa says, no, viyashlomar, the tov likros ima tzibur, mishum the heavy tfei, presuming he's a no. We do try to read the Megillah with the tzibur if you can, to have a minion of 10 men, that is more presume nisa. There is an interesting opinion that says that this is not a din in a Dvarim Shebekdusha that requires a minion of 10 men. There is an opinion, we don't follow this lahalacha, but there is an opinion that says as long as it's 10 people, including 10 women, in the quote, 10 people, you could include women, that would be acceptable for Pesume Nisa, because it's not a Dvarim Shebekdusha that requires 10 men. But we don't pass it like that. We'd say you should try to say the Megillah with a minion of 10 men. And in fact, there's a bracha, Hadonis Dinenu, Haravis Vivenu, that we say at the conclusion of the Megillah reading, which we only say if you have a minion of 10 men. In any event, now the Gemara says further, the Amar of Yehuda Marav, Rav Yehuda says the name of Rav, Kohanim be'avodah, son, the Kohanim doing their avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, Levim v'duchan, the Levim doing their avodah, the Shira, and the playing of the musical instruments in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Yisrael b'mamadon, and the members of Klai Yisrael, as we spoke about previously, in the Morin Tainis, that there has to be representative of Klai Yisrael for these Korban HaSibur. How could a Korban be brought? The owner's not there. So there's the Yisrael b'mamadon, that are the representatives of Klai Yisrael, that are seeing the Korban HaSibur being brought on their behalf. All of these, the Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim, Kulam, and Vatlan, Avodah Son, they don't do the Avodah the first thing in the morning, Uboin, Lishmo, and Mikra, Megillah, and they go to listen to the Megillah, Berovam, Hadras Melech, together in the Shul. And the Brisa supports exactly what Rav Yossi Bar Chanina said. Tanin HaMihochi, Kohanim, Avodah Son, Levim, Beduchanan, Yisrael, B'mamadon, all the members of Klai Yisrael, the Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim, they are doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, give it up. They don't do it early in the morning on Purim. And instead they go to the shul to hear Mikra Megillah, Berovam Hadras Melech, and then afterwards, as we said, they do the Avodah, as Tosus pointed out. Mikan Samchu Shobeis Rabbi, based upon this, in the house of Rabbi, they said the following, Shemavatlin Talmud Torah, Uboin Lishmo Mikra Megillah. And we'll see this is a Kabbal Homer. If you're Mavatl the Beis HaMikdash, so you certainly are Mavatl Talmud Torah, which isn't as higher level as the Avod in the Beis HaMikdash, the assumption is right now. So that's what the Beis Rebbe, in Rebbe's Beis Medrash, in Rebbe's house, they said that you're even Mavatl Talmud Torah, you have a Shia, but now is the time to listen to the Megillah, you stop the Shia, and you go and do Mikra Megillah, and the Kavah Homer Avod. And this, as I just pointed out, is a Kavah Homer from the Avodah. Ma, the Avodah, Shichamura, Avodah, which is stricter than Talmud Torah, Mevatlinon, nevertheless, we stop the Avodah to go and listen to the Megillah. So certainly, Talmud Torah, Lokoshkin, which isn't as strict as the Avodah. Gemara questions this. Really? The Avoda is more chamur than Talmud Torah? The Avoda chamur than Talmud Torah? Who says that? Well, Sid, we know by the famous story when Yeshua was going to fight Yericho. So the Malach comes to him and holds him an account for you mevatel two things. You mevatel the Avoda and you mevatel Talmud Torah. And Yeshua says, no, which one is more important? And the Malach says, Talmud Torah is more important. So now we see the story inside. Do we really think Avoda chamur than Talmud Torah? I'll show you otherwise. Well, Sid, it says in Yeshua, by he, Bios Yeshua be Yericho. Yeshua was ready to go and have the war with Yericho. By saw Einov, Vayar, and he looked up and he saw, in Ish Omed Lenegdo Vagomer, and he sees a person standing in front of him. The person wasn't a person, it was a malach. By Ishtachu, now the word Lapav is not in the Pasuk, so therefore we don't read it. So he bows down to him, and the Gemara questions this entire process. So first of all, number one, Veichi Ovid Hochi. How could Yeshua do this? After all, Omer Rishu ben Levi. Rishu ben Levi said, you can't just say hello to somebody at night, say Shalom Aleichem, to use the same of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and say Shalom Aleichem to somebody at night, because that person may not be a person, that person may be a shade, as Tosafot says over here, Pirish Riva, the Dafka Chutz Lir, this is outside the city, when the Heched, the Shrichim, Azikim, when the Shadim are around. In the city, it's not a problem, because the Shadim aren't around, it's not Shrich, and therefore you can assume that it's a person. However, out in the fields, and at nighttime, you have to be concerned that this person is a shade, and therefore it would be dangerous to go say Shalom Aleichem to him. So therefore, how would you be allowed to do this? How could Yeshua have done this? That's question number one. So the Lord says, Shiny Hasid, no, it was different by Yeshua, because the Amalei ki ani sar tzva Hashem, because this person responded to Yeshua, and he said, I am the sar tzva Hashem, I am an officer in the army of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No. So who says he's telling this the truth? The Dumma Meshakri. Gemara says, so maybe it's a shade, and he's lying. So the Gemara says, no, can't be. Gemiri, we have a Masorah, we have a tradition, the Lo Mafki Shem Shemayim Levatollah, that no shade would say the Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Levatollah. So if it was a shade, he would have lied, possibly, and said, oh, I'm a servant, I'm a very important person, but he wouldn't have said, Sar Tzva Hashem. So therefore, he wouldn't have used the Shem of Hashem. Therefore, when Yeshua heard the Shem of Hashem, so then he could bow down to him at night, even though he couldn't see him, and he didn't have to be concerned that it was a shade. No, furthermore, the Gemara says, Amalo, this malach, it wasn't a person, this was a malach, said to Yeshua, Emesh, yesterday, bitaltim tomit shobein arbaim. You didn't bring the carbon tomit shobein arbaim. And now, the Akshav tonight, Vitaltem Talmud Torah. You're not learning Torah. You're out here in the battlefield. So everybody came out to battle. Now, Tosfos asks, why couldn't they go and bring the Korban Talmud? What does it have to do with the army out in the field? So the Kohanim in the Mishkan still could have brought the Talmud Shabbat Abayim. What does one have to do with the other? It seems to be a non sequitur. So Tosfos answers that no, they took the Aron with them, and you're only allowed to bring the Korbanos if the Aron was over there. In any event, so the Malach tells Yeshua, you guys messed up twice. You messed up, number one, by not bringing the Korban Tavit Shabbat Arbayim. And you messed up by not learning Talmud Torah. You're out here with the armies out here, and you're not learning. So that's what he tells to Yeshua. On the low, so Yeshua says back to the Malach, no, which one is the more severe one? Now, Ezem Ehen Bosa, you're coming here with a sword to kill me. You're coming here with the sword to attack me. Which one is the reason that you're going to attack us for? Which is the more important one? So the Malach tells him on the low, Ata, on this, the one right now, you were mevatel the Korban Tavit in the afternoon. Now it's nighttime. I'm coming here because you're not learning Torah. Ata. Now, Achshav, Bossi. Immediately, Miad, Bayolin, Yehoshua, Balailahu, and it says, Besocha Emek. Now, Tosus and Rashi both point out that this isn't the actual Pasuk. And Tosus adds, in the end of the bottom Tosos, the Derech HaShas, this is a very typical method that the Shas employs, lekatzer ha-psukim, to shorten a pasuk, ula arvim yachad, and to even combine psukim sometimes. And he gives an example of this, and that's what's over here as well, because this pasuk of Besol Ha'emek is actually from a different place. In any event, what Yeshua did basically was say, okay, we didn't learn, we're going to stop what we're doing, and we're going to sit down and learn. And immediately, Omer Yochanan returned to Gimel on the base. Immediately, Malamed Shalon Ba'omko Shal Halacha. This Emek over here is a reference to the Omko Shal Halacha, the depths of Halacha. So they stopped what they were doing and they sat down to learn to correct their deficiency in learning. Nu, what do you see? Omer Shmuel Bar Unya, Godol Talmud Torah, Yosem Akrovas Tamidim, Shenemar Atabasi. You clearly see from here that of the two sins, being Mavatal Talmud Torah, and being mevatel the korban tomid shobein arbayim, which was the more serious infraction, and that was Talmud Torah. So how can you tell me, Sekav v'chomer, that if you're allowed to be mevatel the avoda and the Kohanim Levim, the Israelim, leave the Beis HaMikdash and don't do the Avodah early in the morning, they go hear the Megillah and only go back to the Beis HaMikdash afterwards to do the Avodah, that you could learn out that you should do the same thing by Talmud Torah, give up the Shir and go listen to the Megillah. No, Talmud Torah is more important than the Korbanos, so how can you go bring me a ride from the Korbanos? He says, no, Lokasha. Hodi Rabim, Vahodi Yochid. You know why the Malach was angry that Klai Yisrael wasn't learning? Because everybody wasn't learning. It was a Rabim Bittul Torah. And a Rabim Bittul Torah is very, very serious. However, Vahodi Yochid, when Rebbe said that it's a Kav Chomer, that a Yochid should go and give up his personal learning to go listen to Megillah, and that's a ride from the Bittul of the Korbanos, that the Kohen Levim Yisrael would leave their Maimon and go to Mikra Megillah, so that's by an individual. So if I'm sitting by myself in my house and learning, yes, I should stop learning and go to the Beis Knesset and listen to the Megillah rather than read it by myself later on. But if it was a public shir, so then no, then continue the public shir and do the Megillah afterwards. So our question is, Udiyachit Kal, really, and for an individual learning, we can just give that up. But none. But we learned in the mission Moed Katan, it's Hashem. That's the next mesech that we do after Megillah. We're going to learn in Moed Katan, Noshim ba Moed. We're talking here on Chol HaMoed, when Nebuch there is a velus. So then we change the way that we normally mourn. Normally you would have the women doing various sorts of dirges and various sorts of activities to express their sorrow at the death of the person. But in Chol HaMoed, we do things differently. So, Noshin B'moed, the women on Chol HaMoed, the women were mostly involved in the mourning process. So, therefore, it specifically talks about women that would be doing this. So, Noshin B'moed, Ma'anos. So, there are a number of different definitions for what Ma'anos and Metafchos are, as we'll see. So, the simple understanding is Ma'anos is they would have these dirges that they would sing one after the other, a responsive form, like, the Chazan says something and the Tzibur repeats it. The Chazan says something and the Tzibur repeats it. So they would have that type of mourning as well, various dirges. So B'moed, the women, Ma'anos, they would be allowed to do that. However, Avlo Metafchos, but they wouldn't go and either clap their hands or clap their hands on their chest, as Rashi says, Aliban, Metafchos Aliban. So they wouldn't do that level of mourning. That's too much for Chol HaMoed. A little bit, the Ma'anos, they could do, but not the Metafchos. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Shmuel disagrees. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, im hayu smuchos lemita, if they were right next to Nebuch where they're carrying out the coffin, so then, metafkos, they can even do the metafkos, they can even bang on the chest. That level of mourning is appropriate, even on Chol HaMoed, when you're right next to the coffin. Then, b'roshei chadashim, b'chanukah or b'purim, not on Chol HaMoed, on these other important days in the Jewish calendar, Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, Purim, on a lower level than Chol HaMoed, so then, ma'anos, umetavchos, and you're allowed to do not only the ma'anos, but even lechatchila, you can do metavchos, bazeh ubazeh, on all of these days, on Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, and Purim. However, avalo mekononos, you're still not allowed to do the mekononos. Rashi says the mekononos is that kulam onos ki achas, kina achas omeres, v'kulam onos acharel. That's when they would read the entire kina, and everybody would answer after them. So that type of dirge process is not allowed. So therefore, Mekononos is not allowed to be done on Rosh Chodesh and Chanukah and Purim, even though Metapchos is allowed to be done. And on that, Yom Rabbah Barav Huna, Ein Moed Bifnei Talmud Chacham. None of these dinim apply, even on Chol HaMoed, in regards to a Talmud Chacham. Now, Talmud Chacham is a Yachid. His being is as a Yachid. His learning is, quote, a Yachid learning. And certainly, Kol Shekein Chanukah and Purim, you're allowed to go and not do any of these restrictions on mourning for a Talmud Chacham on Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, and Purim, and even on Chol HaMoed. So how can you tell me that the din by a Yochid is that it's not so strict? The din by a Yochid is so strict. So therefore, how can you bring me a Kav Chomer that if you're being Mevatel the Korbanos, you can certainly be Mevatel the Talmud Torah of a Yochid? So Gemara says, no, you're mistaking between the Talmud Torah and the Kavod for the Talmud Chacham. Kavod Torah Ka'amris. No, Kavod Torah, the Yochid Chomer. But Talmud Torah, the Yochid Kal. Now, we distinguish over here. For the Kavod for a Talmud Chacham who's a Yochid, that is something that's very, very important, and it's even negating the normal restrictions that we apply to Avelis, even on Chol HaMoed. But the Talmud Torah of that Yochid, the actual learning, so then, no, the Megillah reading takes precedence over that. Gemara continues and says, Amar Rav, pshitali, it is clear to me, it's obvious, Avoda or Mikra Megillah. If the choice is the Avoda and Mikra Megillah, so Mikra Megillah is other, as we just proved, be the Rav Yossi Bar Chanina, as we just learned. So clearly, if the choice is doing the Avoda in the perfect time or doing the Mikra Megillah then, so they go do Mikra Megillah and do the Avoda afterwards. Fine, that's clear. Furthermore, it's also clear, Talmud Torah, Mikra Megillah, if it's Talmud Torah, Mikra Megillah, Adif. Again, as we just said, Midusam Chusha Beis Rabbi, as they announce in the house of Beis Rabbi, that for an individual learning Torah or going to the Megillah, so stop learning the Torah and go to the Megillah. Both of those are Pashut. What Rava now tells us is, Talmud Torah, Meis Mitzvah, what's the din? Which one takes precedence? The person's learning or there's a Meis Mitzvah? So Rava says, it's also clear to me, Meis Mitzvah, Adif, that in this situation, stop your learning and go take care of the Meis Mitzvah. Meis Mitzvah is a person that Nebuch has no krovim to bury him. He's alone. Nobody there is going to take care of him. So therefore, it's a Meis Mitzvah. And therefore, it's very important for you to go and even stop your learning. Again, if there are other people that are doing it, so then you're not mechuyav to stop your learning, but there's nobody else to do it. So stop your learning and go take care of the Meis Mitzvah. Where do we know this from? Midatanya, because we learn the following in the Brayis. Mivatlin Talmud Torah Liotzua Sameis Ulach Nosas Kala. We learned in the famous Brayis that a person who is involved in learning, but there's a mace that has to be taken care of, or there's a kala that has to be taken care of, achnosas kala. So then you stop the learning and you go take care of the mace, or to go and take care of the kala. Tosos points out, interesting, it's not only a mace mitzvah. In Tosos Dibra of Maskel, mace mitzvah, adiv, he writes, lav davka mace mitzvah. This isn't only din in mace mitzvah. Vua din luchol mace mshavolim. This is for any mace. Mivatlin Talmud Torah lo tziyam. You are allowed to be mivatlin Torah Torah to go be malav of the mace. Since we're going to be dealing in a moment with the Meis Mitzvah specifically, so therefore we already mentioned the Meis Mitzvah now. Fine. Rava continues and says, Avoda Meis Mitzvah. You have the Avoda to do the Meis Mikdash or Meis Mitzvah. So also here, Meis Mitzvah, Odif, Meis Mitzvah takes precedence, and you stop the Avoda and you take care of the Meis Mitzvah. And where do we know this from? From the Pasuk, Milachoso. What is this Pasuk? It says, Loviv ulimo, uliochiv, uliachoso, lo yitamo lohem bimosom. So here we're dealing with a Nazir, and it tells us that a Nazir is not allowed to be with Tumas Meis. He can't do it for his father, for his mother, for his brother, or his sister. Lo yitame lohem b'mosom. He's not allowed to go and come into contact with them. Now, why do you need to mention all of these things? So the Gemara darshens out what you learn from each din. From Aviv, you learn something. From Imo, you learn something. The Ochiv, you learn something. And from Achoso, you learn this din over here, that it's even pushing aside the Avoda. The Tanya. Ulachoso matam lomar. After the Gemara went through the drushes elsewhere for Aviv, Imo, and Ochiv, so what do you need the word Lachoso to come to teach me? Matam lomar. So, if you have over here a person who is a Nazir, at least that's the way some understand this. Others understand, no, it's even talking about a regular person. But let's just leave it nice and simple. So, you have a Nazir that's going to go and shecht this Korban Pesach. Now, this is very important because Korban Pesach is such an important mitzvah. You chayav karis if you don't bring a Korban Pesach. And, or he's going to go and do bris milah on his son, which is also the other mitzvah saseh that you chayiv karis for. There's only two mitzvahs saseh that you chayiv karis for. If you don't bring a korban pesach, you chayiv karis. And if you don't do a bris milah on your son, you chayiv karis. So therefore, these two are extremely important mitzvahs saseh. And you can't do them if you're going to go take care of the meis mitzvah. So you have a meis mitzvah now coming upon you. Bishama shemeis lameis. He has a meis for him to go and bury. So I might have thought, Yochel Yitame, I might have thought that he should go and stop bringing his Korban Pesach and not do a bris milah on his son, but should go take care of this mace that he has. Not dafka, it's a mace mitzvah. This could be just one of his relatives over here. Doesn't have to be a mace mitzvah. He's mechuyev to go bury this person, just like he's mechuyev to go bury a mace mitzvah. So Rashi says over here that we're dealing with ach o achoso. He's dealing with his brother or his sister. So I might have thought, Yochel Yitame, that he should stop and become Tomei and not bring the Korban Pesach and not do the bris milah because he's busy dealing with the mace mitzvah, his sister or brother. So Amris lo Yitame. So the pasuk tells us, no, lachoso, you don't go and be mitame. So Yochel, kishem shem mitame lachoso, kachin mitame mace mitzvah. So just like over here, he isn't mitame for his brother or sister. So maybe the same din should apply that he's not mitame for a mace mitzvah, and he continues going to do the shechita of his Korban Pesach, or he goes to continue to do the bris milah on his son. That's why Talmud Lomar, the pasuk says, Ulayachoso, to teach us lachoso, only to his sister, who deinu metame, alba metame lemeis mitzvah. But in fact, he would be metame to a meis mitzvah. So here we make a distinction between his brother or his sister that he doesn't have to be metame for. That's assuming somebody else will bury them. If nobody else will bury them, then becomes a meis mitzvah. But assuming somebody else will bury them, so even though he normally would be required to be involved, so here he doesn't have to be for his achoso. But if it's a meis mitzvah, so the extra word in the pasuk tells us in this case that he doesn't go bring the Korban Pesach, he doesn't do the bris milah, but he goes and is metame and takes care of this meis mitzvah. Now, these were all pashut to Rava. Here's what Rava now brings down his question. Boy, Rava, now Rava asks. Until now, these four cases was all Pasha to me. Mikra Megillah Omeis Mitzvah. Hey, Minayu Adif. Now we get to the crux of the matter. We have two things that we're winning till now. This is like a tournament, and the players in the first round, the winning teams go and advance to the second round. The winning teams then go and play each other, and the winner advances to the third round. So now we're left with the final championship over here. You have Mikra Megillah that so far has been winning out against everything, and you have Meis Mitzvah that so far has been winning out against everything, and now they're coming head-to-head. Person could either go listen to the Megillah, or he could bury a Meis Mitzvah. He can only do one of the two. Hey, Minayu Adif. Which one should he do? Do we say Mikra Megillah Adif, that in fact the reading of the Megillah takes precedence over Meis Mitzvah, Mishum Pursuim Nisa? This is such an important concept of Pursuim Nisa that it even trumps taking care of a Meis Mitzvah. Mikra Megillah Adif, Mishum Pursuim Nisa. Or do we say, no, Odilmo, maybe not. Maybe Meis Mitzvah is Adif. In fact, the Meis Mitzvah is Adif. Why? Because Nebuch, this person's lying here dead and nobody's burying him. That's a lack of Kavod HaBrios. And therefore, Meis Mitzvah should be Adif, Mishum Kavod HaBrios. So, as important as Megillah is, it doesn't trump Kavod HaBrios. So that's the question that Rava had. So he himself answers the question. Bosu Debaya, after he asked the question, Hod Pashta, he answered the question himself. And he said, Meis Mitzvah Adif. He said, the bottom line is that Meis Mitzvah wins the tournament. Megillah comes in second. If you have the choice between doing the Meis Mitzvah, taking care of that, and not hearing the Megillah, or hearing the Megillah, and not doing the Meis Mitzvah, take care of the Meis Mitzvah. Why is that? Because the Master said, Godol Kavod HaBrios. So important it is Kavod HaBrios, it's even Docha, Shedocha, even as lo sase shebatorah. It's docha, even a negative commandment in the Torah. Rashi explains which negative commandment are we talking about, and Rashi says it's knocking off the sin lo sucha l'salim. If a person sees an aveda, he's not allowed to say, "Oh, I don't see it," and walk away. However, it also says v'salamta, which means pomim shato misalim. Sometimes you are allowed to look away. So what's the answer? So, for example, you're a respected Rosh Yeshiva, you're an older person, and a kid loses his ball underneath the car. This is the example I remember my Rabban giving me when I was a younger kid. So the Rosh Yeshiva could crawl under the car, get his bekish all dirty. The old person could crawl under the car and get all filthy and dirty, but ain't no lefik fodo. It's not appropriate for a person of his nature. And the rule is, if he wouldn't do it for himself, he doesn't have to do it for somebody else. So therefore, via salamta, you're allowed to look away and not do this mitzvah, Hashavas Aveda, in this situation. As opposed to, in other situations, no, you would do it for yourself, so you have to do it for the other person as well. So therefore, this Kavod HaBrios, it's the pasnish for the Rosh Yeshiva, the Zokik, to go crawl under the car, to go get the item. So therefore, you see the Kavod HaBrios is knocking off a lo sase in the Torah, which is that you shouldn't go and look the other way, lo sucha l'salim. That's the answer that Rashi gives over here. Others explain that no, that this is talking about lo sosu. You have to listen to what the Chacham tell you. And normally the Chacham tell you to do something, and here you're allowed to say, no, I'm going to go because of Kavod HaBrios and not listen to what the Chacham tell me. In any event, that is why we paskin over here. Rav himself said that you take care of the Meis Mitzvah, even more important than the Pursumei Nisa aspect of the Megillah. Now the Gemara says, Gufo, we're going to go back and quote what we learned in the end of yesterday. Shir Amar Rav Shulman Levi, Krach, the Kol HaSamach Lo. We said that a walled city, the Krach, the surrounding environment, we said up to a mill, is allowed to go and be also included with the dinim of the walled city, that they can hear the Megillah on Tesvav. So that's what we said yesterday. If you're within a mill, so then that's called Krach, the Kol HaSamach Lo. But then we add the Kol HaNirimo, also anything that can be seen, i.e. you're within visualization of the city, the walled city, also need donkey krach. They have the same halachos as the krach. In other words, they can read the Megillah on Tesvav, and all the dinim apply in that situation. Gemara says, Tana, we learned in the Braisa, Samuch, what does Samuch mean? Afa pisheinu nira. It's nearby, even though you can't see it. And nira means you can see it, even though afa pisheinu Samuch, even though you're not nearby. So there's two factors over here. Visualizing the city, even though you're not near to it, that's good enough. And also being near to it, even though you can't visualize it. Now, Bishlama, we can understand nira, how you can be within visualization of the city, afa pisheinu Samuch, even though you're not right next to it. That's easy. Mishkachas lo, it could easily happen. Kigon diyosva b'rosh har, you're on a nearby mountain area. So you can see down on the city. You may be a distance away, but you can see the city clearly. You're high up in the mountain, and you can see the city. So then you can read the Megillah on Tesvav as well. Now, where we find the case where it says, Ela Somuch, that you're near to the city, but you can't see it, Afa Bishen Onirat, where could that be? So the Gemara says, Hecha Mishkachasla, how could you possibly have that? So the Gemara says, also no problem. Omer of Yirmiya, Sheo Sheves Ben Nachal. You're in a valley, you're in an Amek, and therefore you can't see the city because you're deep down in the valley, but you're a half a mile away from it, you're half a mil away from it. Another statement from Yishuv ben Levi. V'amar Yishuv ben Levi. We have a number of statements from Yishuv ben Levi now. V'amar Yishuv ben Levi, kirach sheyoshav. You have a city, krach, that was originally sheyoshav, that was originally built without a wall. And only ubisofu kaf, and only afterwards they built a wall around it. So you started off like a small little city, they got bigger, and then they decided to build a wall. So now they have a wall around the city. How do you judge the city? Is it a walled city or is it a non-walled city? So Shulman Levi said, Nidon Kikvar. It's considered as an unwalled city because it originally was an unwalled city. So that's its halachic status. Ah, you put up a wall around it, that doesn't change it to make it into a walled city for this din of Purim. My time, how come? Why not? Because the pasuk says, Dichsiv, the Ish Kiyimkor Beis Moshav Ir Choma. There are different halachas in terms of selling a house when it's in a walled city. Won't go into those halachas now, but just suffice to say that the different halachas, you have a year to buy it back, and if you don't buy it back within that year, then you don't automatically have the right to buy it back. Within that year, you have a certain right to buy it back. In any event, it says, V'ish kiyim kor beis moshav ir choma. It has to be, shehukaf, it first was a walled city, ulu b'sof yoshav. They first built the city's walls, and then they started building all the houses in the city. So it's a walled city meikara from the very beginning. So that's what this din applies to. And the lo sheyoshav, not that it was originally houses, the basal hookup, and then they built a wall around it. Another statement by Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. Another statement Yishuv ben Levi made: Kirach, a city she'ain bo asara batlonim, that doesn't have 10 people that are free. Batlonim means that they're free. They're always in the shul. They're always there to make a minyan and to learn. So if you don't have 10 people in the kollel, so then nidon kikfar. Then we don't treat that city as a big city. We treat it as a little village. Now, Michael Mashua, what's what Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi telling us? What's the practical ramifications of this halacha? Tanina, we learned that in the Mishnah. So why is he telling it to us? Ezo Yerigadola, the Mishnah tells us this is a Mishnah that we'll learn in Mitzvah Shem in 2 days on Daf Hey. So it says over there in the Mishnah, the definition of a large city is kol sheyesh basar batlonim. If you have 10 people that are free and they're not working and they're there to always make a minyan, they're there to help you with the spiritual nature of the town, so then that's called a large city. That's called an ir gedola. Pach is become, but if you have less than 10 people, harei ze kfar, then it's a little village. So what is Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi telling us? An amora. Yishuv ben Levi is an amora. So what is he telling us? And then it's a beferish in the Mishnah. I pointed it out numerous times. You only find Tani Nam Yochi. You find the Brisa that it's like an amora, but you don't find the Mishnah that's ever like an amora. You never say Tanan Nam Yochi because the Amoraim knew all the Mishnayos. So if they're quoting a Mishnah, they wouldn't say it in their own name. They would quote it as the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, no, there's a chiddush over here, Yishuv ben Levi's statement. What is the chiddush? Krach, he has to tell us over here, for a city that doesn't have 10 people, if it's a city, a krach, it's trichalei. What's that? Afogav de mikloi le me'alma, even though you have lots of people coming to this city. So you might have thought that they're included in the 10 people that are batlonim. So the chiddush is, no, it has to be that the people live in the city. So afogav de mikloi le me'alma, even though people come from different places to visit the city, and they're on vacation, so they're, quote, batlonim at that point in time. So they're not included in this din, and they wouldn't be called a krach, it would be called the kfar, if you didn't have 10 dwellers of that city that are batlonim. Another statement by Yishuv ben Levi that he made, kirach shecharav, if you have a city that was originally a walled city, but it was Nebuch destroyed, ulu b'sof yoshav, and then they subsequently resettled it again, nidon kikrach, it still is treated as a walled city in that situation. Now, what does it mean, charav? My charav. If they destroy the walls, so then Yoshav in, Lo Yoshav Lo, is it really true that only if it's resettled is called the walled city? But if it's not resettled, it's not called the walled city? That's not true. Votanya, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Eliezer, who was the son of Rabbi Yossi, he said, Asher Lo Choma. Now the word Lo is spelled as a Ksivu Kri, and it comes to teach us both. Afopi She'ein Lo with a Vav Achshav, but it v'haya lo, it had one beforehand. V'haya lo kodem l'chein. So therefore, asher lo choma means it doesn't have a choma right now. That's with an aleph, but it had one originally. That's the with a vav. So it's a ksivu kri over here, and it comes to teach us this din that once it had a wall originally, it's considered as if it has a wall halachically right now, even though it physically doesn't have one. So Gemara says, you're right, Elo, what's the chiddush of Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi? My chorav, what does chorav mean? Destroyed? Shechorav me'asara batlonim. It means that it no longer has the 10 men who are the batlonim. So Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi's chiddush is that if at a later point in time it again gets 10 men who are batlonim, so then it returns to the status of being a krach. Okay, another statement, Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, another statement Yishuv ben Levi made. Lod, va'ono, v'geher haroshim, these three places, Mukafos Chomom Yumos Yoshua Bin Nun Havu. These all had a wall at the time of Yeshua Bin Nun, which, like the Tana of Mishnah Rabbi Akiva said, that we go by whether they were walled cities or not during the days of Yeshua Bin Nun, and not whether they were walled cities during the days of Achashverosh and Haman. So Rabbi Shimon Levi points out that Lod, Ono, and Gehel Harashim all had a wall in the days of Yeshua Bin Nun, so even though they don't have a wall right now, they would have the halachi status of reading the Megillah on Tesvav. So the Gemara questions this and says, Bahani Yoshua bin Nunai, are you implying that Yeshua built these cities and they had walls during the days of Yoshua? Vaha El Pal bin Nani, the person who was known as El Pal, he was the one that built them. And where do we know this? Because the Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim tells us, the Chsiv, U, it should be U, Vinei El Pal, Ever, U Misham, Vashomer, these are the children of El Pal, who bona es Ono, the es Lod, Uvenosa. He was the one that built the city of Ono, he's the one that built the city of Lod, Uvenosa, and the suburbs surrounding that. So, therefore, how can you tell me that they were built in the days of Yeshua ben Nun? This occurred later on. So, and according to you, Tamech, Asa ben Anoi, are you telling me that Asa, who lived after Al-Pal, he was the one that built them? Tehsiv, Vayiven Asa, Esari HaBetzuros HaShel Yehuda. Now, this pasuk that we're quoting here, again, is not found in Shas. That's why on the side it says, Tzorech Lomar, Ore Mitzuda B'Yehuda. Not that he built Ore HaBetzuros HaShel Yehuda. So again, this is a style. We just point out in Tosfos that sometimes we use a not exact quote to illustrate the point that we want to make. In other words, you see clearly that also was the one that built them and not El Pal. So Amr Rilaz says, yeah. They were originally walled cities during the days of Yeshua ben Nun, but they were destroyed, Charev. And when were they destroyed? They made Pilegish Megiva. During the famous Maisa Nebuch of the Pilegish Megiva, these cities were destroyed. And then, subsequently, we also El Pal, Binani. And then El Pal came along and built them. And then, Hadar Inpo, they again were destroyed. And also, Shaptsinu. And also came along and rebuilt them again. So therefore, this shows us that they were built during the days of Yeshua ben Nun. And again, Daikanami, I'll show you that this is true. The way that we just explained is not a Doichak Teretz. I'll show you that it's true. You'll see it. Vayomer Yehuda, Nibne es ha'ori mo'ela. Asa says to Yehuda, Vayomer Asa liyo Yehuda, Vayomer Yehuda, and he said, Miklal to'arim havu me'ikara. He says, let us rebuild Nivne. Let us rebuild these cities because they were ready with cities. And therefore, that implies that they were already built originally and now we're just going to restore them. Shmamina, this is a good raya. So a good break point. We'll stop up here. Mitzchem is still in the middle of a whole series of statements that the great Amora, Rehu ben Levi, said. Mitzchem will pick up tomorrow. With this, we conclude today's share.